the church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
How are American minds changing on the issue of abortion? Obviously, with the anniversary of the Dobbs decision, much has changed legally and socially, but does it have the effect of changing American minds? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. There is a new survey from Gallup on abortion views and a new report on abortions post-Dobbs. Dr. Michael New joins us to talk about them. He's visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America, senior associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Paige Comstock Cunningham Fellow with Americans United for Life, and a columnist for National Review Online. Dr. New, welcome back.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
According to this year's Gallup Values and Beliefs Survey, what percentage of Americans identify as pro-life, and how has that number changed?
It's interesting. Gallup every year does a survey on values and beliefs. They always include a series of questions on abortion, and they always ask people if they identify as either pro-life or pro-choice. And this year, 2023, they found that 44% of Americans identify as pro-life. And what's interesting is that's a 5 percentage point gain from last year. So this has been kind of a tough year for the pro-life movement in some ways. We've faced a lot of very negative media coverage, and the fact that the pro-life position gained in the court of public opinion, I think, says quite a lot about the strength of our arguments and the hard work of our activists.
Why do you think that number is going up?
I think when it really comes down to it, the Dobbs decision didn't really change people's opinions all that much. I think that we still have strong support for pro-life policies. People typically oppose late-term abortions. They oppose taxpayer funding for abortions. They've seen ultrasounds. I think we've made some very just durable inroads in terms of public policy over the past 20 years, and I think just the pro-life position is durable.
What does the survey also show about individual policy questions?
Yeah, we did lose a little bit of ground on some of the individual policy questions, but not much. The survey does clearly show that a majority of Americans oppose abortions after the first trimester. That figure was 55%. The survey also showed that a very strong supermajority oppose abortions after the second trimester. 70% thought abortions after the second trimester should be generally illegal. So, again, there's very strong support for abortion limits that these Gallup surveys consistently show.
How would you describe the media coverage of pro-life issues since the U.S. Supreme Court's Dobbs ruling?
It's been very tough. I mean, the media has never been friendly to us, but they've been, I'd say, extremely hostile ever since Dobbs. I mean, there's many, many stories about situations where women purportedly who could not get medical care because of a pro-life law. Pro-life laws are clearly written. We do want pregnant women to get the help they need. Someone's death does not need to be imminent for them to receive medical attention. I think partly it's just kind of a misunderstanding on the part of some healthcare professionals. And on the other hand, you don't really see many stories about the positive things happening. You don't see stories about the lives saved. You don't see stories about pregnancy help centers seeing more people. You don't see stories about policy changes, that are put in place to help parents and pregnant women. I mean, Texas has allocated, hundreds of billions of dollars to their Alternatives for Abortion program. That gets very little coverage.
So what has the new data from the Society for Family Planning told us about the number of lives that have been saved since the Dobbs ruling?
Yeah, they've basically, Society for Family Planning is kind of trying to get current data on the number of abortions that are taking place. And they compare abortion declines in states that have passed pro-life laws, and they compare that to abortion increases in other states. And some women tragically do circumvent pro-life laws by obtaining abortions in other states where the laws are more permissive. Their calculations have fluctuated. You know, I think their current figures are between July of 2022 and March of 2023, about 25,000 lives have been saved due to pro-life laws. You know, I think the numbers, you know, might be higher. Keep in mind, those figures don't account for the lives saved by the Texas Heartbeat Act, which took effect even before Dobbs. It may not account for some of the lives saved by pro-life laws in Oklahoma that took effect before Dobbs. But there's a very strong consensus that no matter whose data you use, the pro-life laws we passed since Dobbs have saved tens of thousands of lives.
Give us the lay of the land regarding abortion in the U.S. now 1 year after Dobbs.
Sure. We've made quite a lot of progress. There's 14 states right now where preborn children are protected throughout all stages of development. There's about four other states where preborn children are protected after a certain gestational age limit. There's a couple of situations where gestational age limits are being challenged in court. South Carolina passed a heartbeat bill. That's being litigated. The Florida heartbeat bill that Governor DeSantis signed is also being litigated. So, you know, there are some additional states kind of on the way where strong protective pro-life laws may take effect. So we've made some good progress. There's still a lot of work to be done. I mean, there's still probably over 30 states where preborn children really are not protected, where abortion is still by and large legal throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. So we've made some good progress, but pro-lifers still have plenty of work to do.
How would you describe those future challenges for the pro-life movement?
There's a lot. I mean, we have to kind of contend ourselves with. First, we obviously have to deal with women circumventing pro-life laws by obtaining abortions in, you know, states where the laws are more permissive, and we need to let women know there's good pregnancy help available and that there's people willing to help them carry that pregnancy to term. We have to deal with chemical abortion pills. There's concerns they can be sent through the mail, even in states where pro-life laws are in effect. If women take these pills unsupervised, that could pose some very negative, serious public health problems. The other side, even though public opinion has not changed much since Dobbs, the other side is more motivated. People who support legal abortion are more likely to vote for pro-abortion candidates now than they were previously. So that's a challenge. And we have these ballot propositions. I mean, that was one thing that pro-lifers did not do well in 2022. Several states put abortion rights in their state constitution. You know, ballot propositions are challenging. A lot of times the side that wins is a side that just spends the most money. Abortion, tragically, is a multi-billion-dollar industry in this country. The other side has lots of money and can fund these things. So it's not insurmountable, but it is a challenge we do have to contend with.
President Biden has vowed to, in his words, codify Roe into federal law. What are the chances of that occurring now?
I think it's very unlikely. You know, I think that first Republicans do control majority of seats in the House, and they would block such a measure. I think that Republican senators would filibuster such a measure. So I don't think Roe is going to be codified at the federal level. You know, that said, the federal government is important. We need to elect pro-life candidates for the House, the Senate, and hopefully elect a pro-life president in 2024, that we need to obviously be aware of what's happening. But in the short term, I don't think that's likely.
Dr. Michael New is visiting assistant professor of social research and political science at the Catholic University of America. He's senior associate scholar at the Charlotte Lozier Institute, Paige Comstock Cunningham, fellow with Americans United for Life, and a columnist for National Review Online. You can read his columns at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Dr. New, thanks.
No, thanks for having me. Much appreciated.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith, joins us next for This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to talk about the charismatic lust for miracles, signs, and wonders.
Register today. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through the 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky. The conference includes visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Online registration is open now with early bird pricing at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life. equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Lutheransforlife.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard the rumblings about the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Well, it's coming up this summer in Milwaukee. In convention, LCMS delegates comprised of both laity and clergy gather for worship, study of God's Word, and to discuss and vote on the business of Synod. For a preview of what's coming up, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, cph.org to subscribe to the magazine, or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.